Today, the approach to marriage. Amen. You love me?
Amen.
So, we'll try to put scriptures up. I think we're having a little bit of troubles there, but Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22, short scripture reading at the start. Proverbs 18, 22. there, you can say amen.
Amen.
Which means everybody can because it's on the screen now. But Proverbs 18:22, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. And then we want to go to Proverbs chapter 12, verse 4. Proverbs 12:4, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. Let's pray. Lord, as we come to this portion of the service this morning, we just want to ask God that you'd have your way this morning to speak to our hearts. Lord, you know the importance of this subject, this topic, anything that comes from your word, Lord, is certainly important, and it's worthy of being honored and used for life circumstances, and especially when it comes to marriage. Lord, and we just ask God that you would let us this morning speak on your word, and that your Holy Spirit would bring forth out of your scriptures those things that need to be lodged in the hearts of your people. Ask them, Lord, that you take our young people up into your bosom this morning, you'd speak to their hearts, God, that you would instill truths into them, and Lord, that it would be with them for the rest of their days here on this earth. We love you, Lord, and we commit this time and this series into your hands and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning.
Amen.
To be with each one of you.
Yes.
I feel like Brother Daniel mentioned so many times when everybody comes in, and it is such a blessing every time I see the door open and see another one of you come in. You know, we are a family.
Right.
Yes. And every one of you, I don't care who you are, youngest to the oldest, every one of you are part of this family, and each one of you matter. Each one of you have a place, and
yes,
a place in our hearts. And we love each one of you, and I know that you love each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so we thank the Lord for what he's done in this little group. And thank him for what he will do. He's got this.
Right.
I don't have it. Brother Daniel doesn't have it, but he's got it.
Right.
And that's really what we want. And so, should things happen to where we can't meet like this, then if we have to meet in each other's houses, that's what we'll do. And then when they stop that and we can't do anything else, then we'll leave it up to the Lord. He'll take it from there.
Right.
Amen. But until that time comes, we're just going to keep doing what we're supposed to do. We're going to keep planting potatoes.
That's right.
So I announced that we would do this marriage enrichment, and we got a nation absolutely falling apart, but I told you we was going to do this, and we're going to do it. So I'm going to plant potatoes.
Yeah.
Amen. And so may the Lord bless you. So we want to review just a moment what we talked about last time. We found that last time that God is the one who instituted marriage. It wasn't man. It wasn't Adam and Eve. It wasn't anyone else. It was God. God was the one that said that it's not good that man be alone. He's our creator. He knows what's in us. He knows what we need. And he knows what the answer is. He knows how to supply that. And so he's the one that said that man should not live alone, that it's not good for man to live alone. And so he made female to answer that need that Adam had. And we've seen in the scriptures there that all the animals come by, not one of those animals met that need.
Yeah.
Right? And Adam named them. He knew their natures and so forth. He was a son of God, and so he was able to name them all, and not one of those met that need. And so God said, well, I tell you what, I'll go and I'll put Adam to sleep, and I'll take that wife from his side, a rib, and I'll make a wife, which is a type of the church coming from Christ, right? And then we're part of him. And it shows you that when, as the scripture said, that when they come together, they two shall be one flesh. Not as one, but they shall be one flesh. To such a place that the scripture said that she is the man's body. And that if a man will always take care of his body, he'll take care of his wife because that is his body. And so they are one flesh, not two. You just say, well, if look at it in the physical, they're two. But we have to bring ourselves, if we want the blessings of God on our lives, we have to bring it down to the way God is delivering it to us and the way we understand it from him.
Yes.
If you go to medical school, you have to learn all those terms. I always say, you know, why don't they just call it an arm? But they don't. They got some long name for it, you know, and I understand. But it seems like they created a language of their own, and then you're left out when you don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
But the point is that you got to come to what God's saying and look at it through His eyes. And He said, they too shall be one flesh.
Right.
Amen? And so we're going to go with that because that's what He said. Not to deny that that I'm up here and my wife is back there, but in God's eyes, we are one. And so we always want to remember that. So God is the one that instituted marriage to supply the needs of the man, and we'll say to supply the needs of a woman, because a woman has needs too, and the man is there to provide that security and the things that she needs. And we found out also that this whole arrangement between male and female coming together is a holy image of God in humans. All creatures reproduce by male and female. There's nothing out there that it takes male and female. So it can't be two males. That's not it. Can't be two females. That ain't it, see? But it's a male and a female. That's the way God made it. And anything other than that is a perversion. And anything other than that has death in it, because there's no reproduction in that. See, it's common sense. Of course, this world doesn't want common sense. See, they've shown that a long time ago. But we're talking about Christianity, and we're not going to hijack Christianity. We're going to say it the way God said it. And if people want to worship and think and observe some other way, go down the street and do it, but don't call it Christianity, because it's not.
Right.
See what I'm saying? So we're going to stay with the scriptures on this. And so it's a holy image of God in the fact that God had a desire to reproduce Himself, and He created a people, a church, a female, a wife, that He, through union with her, could reproduce Himself. Right? We saw that in God, and then it acted out in man. And so when He said that Adam was alone, there was no helpmeet for him, that's because God, that represented what God was doing in heaven. And so then God would make a wife, and that wife would supply the needs for him. And so the church supplies the needs for God. I've said this many times. As Brother Ram said, the best thing that God could give a man outside of salvation is a good wife. Translate that to the spiritual. The best thing that Jesus Christ could get, because He don't need salvation because He is salvation.
Right.
Best thing He could get would be a church that would be obedient to Him, that He could reproduce Himself in her.
Yeah.
That's the best thing there is. And that's who He has. He said, I'll have that. So it is the holy image of God. And though all females of all species can come together, and there's this, I'll call it magical, but this supernatural thing there where a male and female can now become one and produce offspring, kind of mimicking the creative power of God and what God can do when He has a church that's obedient. And so all creatures can do that, but only man is made in the image of God. And that's why man has to live and act and respond like God would, because we're not in the barnyard. We're not animals. We don't live like animals. They don't have a soul. They're not accountable like we are. But we're in the image of God, and therefore we don't do things like the animals out in the barnyard does.
Right.
Where a man can have 15 women. That's barnyard. You see, we're going to live it the way God, because we are in the image of God. And if the rest of the world wants to just go all the way to be living like animals, they can. But for us, we're not going to do that. We're going to live like sons and daughters of God. And so He teaches that way. So we want to honor God in marriage. We want to keep it holy, because it is holy matrimony. That means there's an element of God in it that's there, that should be there. And so when you keep God in it, it is holy matrimony. It's something He instituted, and it's something that He brings together. And when God brings it together, let not man put asunder. Amen. So, keep it holy. And, you know, we are responsible before God. Brother Graham said in the marriage and divorce, when he was talking about it, he said, sinner or saint, you are responsible for these acts. That's right. That's what he said. Because he said, he went back into the scripture and he showed where Abraham, they went down there to where Abimelech, King Abimelech, was. And Sarah was beautiful, had been turned back young again, as we know from the scriptures. And Abraham knew that king had the power to kill him. Or run him out or whatever. He had the power to take his wife. And so Abraham was like, listen, when we go down there, you tell them that you're my sister. And she was, half-sister, because he was afraid that king would kill him. And Brother Ram said, well, why wouldn't that king just run him off and take his wife? See, It wasn't an option to run him off and take his wife. He would kill him and take his wife. Because even in the unrighteous people back then, even back there, you weren't to take another man's wife.
Right.
And so he said, we're responsible whether we believe, whether we're sinners or saints, whether you believe it or not, God holds you responsible for your actions and your conduct, mm-hmm. especially in this area. And so we are responsible for God. So talk about the approach to marriage. The approach to marriage actually starts with mom and dad. And we're talking about a child who's going to be growing up and approaching marriage. We're talking about that child's parents. Actually, it starts with mom and dad. And that for mom and dad to obviously have their own marriage right, but to model it before the children so that the children know what to expect. I made this comment the other day. A lot of times a daughter will wind up marrying someone like her dad. Because the dad takes care of the family and has been the role model of providing and been the strength of the male attribute of the home. And there's something in a daughter that appreciates that. And so even without her knowing it, she will naturally go out and she'll be looking for something that speaks to her out of what she's been used to. Right? So it kind of works that way. That's just my way of describing it. So the parents' job to model it and then to teach it to the children. And I ask you this, when do you start teaching it? You know, and this, I just have to say it what's on my heart. And you know I love every one of you, and I don't know everything about you, and I might know some things about you, but God knows I don't stand up here and say, I'm gonna pick on this person. I don't do that. I have to just tell you, you know. But how soon do you start teaching a little girl that she's going to wear dresses? Do you wait till she's 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 years old? You should do it from day one, from the day they come home from the hospital.
Yeah.
So at what point do you start teaching that young man how to be a gentleman and how to honor the character of Christ that he's supposed to be? You don't wait till he's 18 or 19 years old. You got to model it and teach it all along. And it starts from the cradle.
Right?
Right? And same way about daughters, how to teach a daughter how to be a lady and how to recognize a man that's an imposter or a slicker or somebody that's going to do her wrong.
Yeah.
See? Those things, so it starts with mom and dad to teach the children and to model it. And so it's the children's responsibility. You pay attention. You pay attention to those things. And so the model, to teach it and teach them what marriage is and what to look for and how to approach to it and even how to conduct yourself after you're married. Because your mom and dad, I'm speaking to the young people here, well, actually everybody really, your mom and dad, especially if they're godly parents, they are your own personal counselors for life. And they don't charge you for it. It's free. You don't have to go pay for a marriage counselor. Your mom and dad have been there, especially if they've been together for many, many years, and they've braved many storms. I think they've got something they can tell you to help you get through things, to get through life and make decisions. Because you know what? They've seen things over and over, and they know what works, and they know what doesn't work.
Yeah.
You take a little kid, I was thinking, that little child, and he learns that he can throw something. And they just, oh, it's the greatest thing in the world. And that's fine as long as it's a Nerf ball. But what if he picks up a baseball and throws it up? And you have to say, son, listen, I've been around, and I know that when you throw stuff up, it's got to come down, and you're discovering that too, but you can't throw that stuff straight up because it's going to come down on your head.
Yep.
You see what I'm saying? And so you know why? Because that child hasn't been there yet, but the parents have. So there's a great virtue in listening to what your parents have to say about these things. And you know what? Outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, your parents love you more than anybody else.
Right.
It's Satan's job to make you think they don't. But they do. That's why they can't sleep at night if you don't come in. If you're out and you don't get in on time, they can't sleep. That's why they worry about you when you're sick. And those kinds of things. Because they love you. God has placed within them the attribute of love. He commissioned them and put in them to be your guardians for life. And even when you become adults and you're out on your own, you still should honor that mom and dad, and you should still go to them for their counsel, because they can definitely help you. They've been anointed of God to do it.
Yeah.
The world's dog eat dog out there, but I'm talking to Christians.
That's right.
And so that's what I mean. So I can never overemphasize enough to the children, to young people, include your parents in this. Listen to what they have to say, especially if they've got a good track record themselves. Because if they've been together for many years, I can guarantee you they've been through ups and downs and all kinds of trials and blessings and cursings that has happened along the way of things. And so they can definitely help you. And so they're your own personal counselors for life, and they don't charge you for it. They're happy to help you. You may not like what they have to say sometimes, but that's how it is. So they want to teach you what to look for. Well, you know, you should look for character, and we know this. And I'm probably not going to say anything in this whole series you haven't heard at some point, one way or the other. But you should look for character. When you're looking for a mate, you should look for someone who's got the character enough. And when we say character, I don't mean somebody acting up, acting silly. I'm talking about somebody that's got character. Like Brother Wim talked about those men that surrounded David. They were men of character because they knew that David was coming to power, and they stayed by him no matter what it cost them. They stayed with him. They stayed with that king because they knew that in the end he was going to be in rulership, and they were gallant men that would gallant in battle. It wasn't easy to defeat them. They weren't defeated, and so they were, and so that's what we're talking about. You want to look for somebody who's gallant, somebody that sticks with that truth, somebody that stays with that which is proven over time. That's what you want to look for. Somebody that's got character to be obedient to your parents. Be obedient to the laws of the land, be obedient to the Bible, and be obedient to the message. And you say, the message, Brother Tony? Yes, the message. Because remember, the message is this Bible made alive for this day by a vindicated voice.
Yeah.
That means it's more pertinent to us than it was any other age, in the fact that we've got it so vindicated and in such a complete form and so available to us.
Yes.
They have no excuses. We have the power to live it like no other age has had the power to live it, because it's so available to us. And so, obedient to parents, because listen, you young people, you really want to hook up with somebody that won't obey their own parents? Somebody that wants to break the laws of the land? Somebody that wants you to break what the scripture says and not obey what the message is delivered to us? Because if you marry someone like that, that's what you're hooked up with.
That's right.
You don't want that. You want to look for somebody that, if anything, and I'll say it this way, if anything, they're stricter than you are in holding truth. You don't want to pick somebody that's watering it down. Oh, I don't mean that. It's just, you know, because then that's what you're going to raise your children up in, that kind of environment.
That's right.
And here's the thing is, yeah, when everything's fine and dandy, it's just the two, it's not that big a deal. But when you start having children, and now you want to raise them one way, and the spouse wants to raise them a different way, now you're talking about feud in the camp. So it's best that, as the scriptures talk about, you don't want to be yoked together with an unbeliever. You want to be yoked together with someone that believes it and lives it just like you do.
That's right. Yeah.
It does matter. And you know what now? Right now, when you're young and you got hormones and you're all excited, you want to take life by the horns. And I understand that, because remember, we've all been there. Those of us who are older, we've been there. I know what it's like to have the hormones surging through your veins.
Sure.
I know what it's like. I know the nature of a young man who's not converted in his heart. I know what he can do.
Yeah.
And I know what the young ladies can do. Okay? Listen to the voice of experience and take it. The gray hair. Listen to what the gray head says. Don't go after the world where the scripture said that in the last days they're going to be forsaking the gray-headed man. Right? The wisdom.
Right.
Don't do that. Listen to truth and listen to the things that are right and obedience coming from somebody that's been there, knows what it's about. We're not saying we haven't made mistakes before, but you know, you learn from things, and you know, you learn what happens, and you learn the devices of the devil as you go through life.
Right.
You start saying, you know what, I've seen this guy do this before, and I know what happens.
Yeah.
And so you do. You want to look for someone with character. You don't want to look for someone who's chasing after the fads and trends of the day. Because you've heard me say it many times, if the world is going breakneck speed after something, you probably better not, because it's, you know, the devil has his way in the masses. And when they produce something that the whole world, which you know the whole world is out there, you just got a few people that's actually got a born-again experience. A few people really got the Holy Ghost. And the rest of them are living by their flesh and their emotions. And when all those people living by their flesh and their emotions, they get excited over a new dress or a new appearance or a new app or a new social media system or whatever it is, if they're going after it like that unregenerated, you as a child of God with the Holy Ghost, and I know if the Holy Ghost is in you, you'll stop back and say, wait a minute, that's not necessary for me.
Right.
See? You don't want to go by the way of the masses, because you know, the masses in the scriptures is referred to as waters.
Mm-hmm.
And Satan cast out a flood to go after the woman.
Yep.
To swallow her up. Satan cast out humanity to go after with their trends and their fashions to snuff out the woman.
Mm-hmm.
Follow me? See? And what is it that if it's not corralled can destroy so much as a flood? A people that's unrestrained can absolutely obliterate the landscape. So you don't want to be as unstable as water, as we know the phrase. We want to follow after the things that are true. And so you don't want to look for someone that's chasing after fads and trends and all this kind of stuff. Find somebody that's got character enough to stay with the Bible, stay with the things that are right, and not go after the things the world is after. You don't want to pick someone, you sisters, you don't want to pick a young man who acts like the serpent did in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
I've said that before, but I'll explain it again. If you remember in the garden that the serpent came and he talked to Eve, and I think maybe historians try to say maybe that it took maybe about 7 years, I think I've heard. Whether that's true or not, but to get to the concept to you that it might take a while, but the slicker, the man who wants to defile you, and I'm speaking to the sisters now, the man that wants to defile you, young man wants to defile you, he's a slicker in his talk.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll talk to you, and he'll woo you. And so maybe it might take 7 years for him to do it, but he's got one thing in mind if he's not regenerated. Living by his flesh.
Mm-hmm.
I know what I'm talking about. And like I said the other day, I talked to Brother Daniels because he's got so many children in congregation, and I said, can I cover this stuff? It's adult. And he said, yes, sir, because they're old enough, and the ones that are little don't understand. That's all I'm telling you. I know what is on that man's mind, that young man's mind. And don't be deceived by his slick words and his fancy appearance and all whatever he does. If he's not got the Holy Ghost, he's living by his flesh.
That's right.
Okay? And so the serpent spent all that time talking to her. And this is for the young men too, because how you're not to act. He talked to her and finally convinced her to have this act with him. And that was the fall of humanity right there. And Satan is so ingrained in all of humanity that that's what they spend all their time doing, is breaking the very thing that happened right there at the beginning. They're repeating and repeating every day. Society has just become the norm,
right,
to do what happened right there in that act.
Right.
Whenever a woman who belonged to somebody else, some slicker came in and talked her and tricked her into having relations with him,
yep,
and brought the entire fall of humanity by that.
That's right.
So I ask you, what was the nature of the serpent taking advantage of a weaker vessel? Because the scripture said the female is the weaker vessel.
Yeah.
So he took advantage of her and talked to her and convinced her and finally convinced her that, hey, this is good. This is the thing to do. It's going to feel good. It's going to be good. And you'll enjoy it and all these different things.
Mm-hmm.
A slicker.
Yep.
And so You young men, don't you take advantage of a sister.
Yeah.
Don't you say, ah, she's weaker. I'll talk to her and I'll woo her and I'll get her to like me and I'll get her to let down her bar. Because if you do that, you're anointed of the serpent. Same thing the serpent had.
That's right.
That's right. There's one thing for sure. When I stand there on judgment day, I'll be able to say, I told them.
Mm-hmm.
I told them the truth.
Yep.
Right along with the message. And so, Lord help us all. So you can hear it, see it, plain and live it. You know, if you can't hear it right, you can't sing it right. If you can't see it right, you can't live it right. You know, so the Holy Spirit will show you these things. So look for someone that's got character. You must have, young men, you must have, and I'm not preaching a worldly doctrine, I'm talking about the Bible. You should have her parents' approval. You should. Listen, you don't want her dad to think that you're a deadbeat and you have to face that man your whole life because you're married to his daughter and you know that your whole life that this man thinks I'm a deadbeat, or this man is hurt because I defiled his daughter without his permission.
Yeah.
It does matter. I'm a dad. Listen, I'm a dad and I know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It matters. A man raised up his daughter and he wants his daughter to be a virgin on her wedding night. And you, some slicker, come along and change that without permission? That's a serious offense. I know what I'm talking about.
Amen.
See? We get away from the scripture. And I'm going to show you scripturally that it's very important. Because the dad's responsible, the mom's responsible to teach him and so forth. And the child is responsible to be obedient to the parent. And the parent loves you and they'll see to it. You don't, your parent's not going to take you out there and try to hook you up with somebody that they think your life's going to be miserable with.
Right.
Why would I want to take my daughter who's underneath my protection and give her to some renegade? You see what I'm saying? But Satan wants to make you think that it doesn't matter, and it does matter.
That's right.
And so you need to have your parents' support, because when you marry, and this goes both ways, when you marry someone, you're marrying their family too. No amens. Brother Dan said, uh-huh. He knows. You marry their family. You marry that mother-in-law.
That's right.
My wife said, I tried. You know, you marry that mother-in-law. You marry that father-in-law.
That's right.
You marry those siblings. Now, you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And so, you don't want to bypass that. You don't want to hook up with a family that absolutely hates you. You want to let God guide you and let everything be on the amen. And let that be the way it comes in. Because that'll be a much happier life, because things come. And it's bad enough trying to get through life with all the things Satan throws at you. Don't cause it to be even worse because you make stupid decisions.
Amen.
Right?
That's right.
Make the decisions that are godly and right. Do something that God can anoint and back up.
Yes. Amen.
Do it in a way that he can anoint that and say, I bless that young man. Even if everything's coming against him, I bless him because he did what's right. How many remembers at my daughter Anna's wedding that I said what I did about Jordan? That he's the only one who had the guts enough to call me on the phone and say, can I talk to her? And if you remember, I said, that's the way to do it. That's the way to do it, young man. Get permission.
Right.
Don't be sneaky.
Amen.
Because God can't bless that, and neither can daddy.
Right.
But do it the right way, and your life will be so blessed.
Amen.
When you do it the right way. So we're going to go to the scripture and I'm going to show you. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 22. Daddy has a voice and a say in this, and when you go beyond that without his okay, you owe him. You have robbed from him. You've done something wrong in the eyes of God, and you're held responsible. And I know this is Old Testament, but the principle is still the same today.
Right.
Deuteronomy 22, verse 13. And if any man take a wife, and he go in into her, and then he hates her, and give occasion of speech against her, and bring up an evil name upon her, and say, I took this woman, and when I came to her, I found her not a maid. In other words, not a virgin. Then shall the father of the damsel and, now look, the father of the damsel and the mother They take and bring forth the tokens of the damsel's virginity unto the elders of the city in the gate. You know what that is? On their wedding night, that veil's broken, leaves a mark, and the mom and dad have that as a token to prove that that daughter was a virgin. Once that veil's broken, it can never be brought back. It can never be justified once that's broken if it's broken by the wrong man. But that parent, the mom and dad of that daughter, had those tokens, and they'd keep it. And so the damsel father was saying to the elders, the judges, he'd go to court and say, look, I gave my daughter to this man to wife, and he hateth her. And lo, he hath given occasion of a speech against her, saying, I found not thy daughter a maid. And yet these are the tokens of her virginity. And they present that before the judge. So there's the proof that my daughter was a virgin. This man's lying on her. Follow me?
Yeah.
Saying, I found not thy daughter a maid, and yet these are the tokens of my daughter's virginity, and they shall spread the cloth before the elders of the city. They should look at proof, at evidence. Mm-hmm. Something nobody wants to do anymore.
That's right.
And the elders of the city shall take that man and chastise him. How many wants to be chastised? Well, I don't want to. Well, then don't do something that'll cause it.
Right.
And they shall immerse him in 100 shekels of silver and give them unto the father of the damsel, because he hath brought up an evil report, an evil name upon the virgin of Israel, and she shall be his wife, and he may not put her away all his days. Hang on just a second there. So now, I did some math here a while back. That's equivalent to about $960-something, almost $1,000. So this man, he's already married her, right? And he's already probably given the dowry that he gave to the dad to marry her. But now he decides, I don't like her, and I'm just going to lie on her. And I keep in mind, in that day, because of the hardness of their heart, they could have a bill of divorcement. But it wasn't God's original plan. And so he said he would make a false accusation and say, this woman who was a virgin when they married, he claimed she wasn't. Did you know that you can put a woman away if you find out she wasn't a virgin when you married her? That's right. And you can. That's right. But he makes this accusation, and because it was a lie, because this rumor went out, because the whole town's probably talking about it. Did you hear? So-and-so, you know, his daughter. Why? Oh, you know. And the law there said that because you have brought an evil name upon this virgin, upon her father's house, and that whole arrangement there, that he's responsible for her, and that's a bad name on her, and a bad name on the house, and you've tried to tarnish that, and because it turned out to be a lie, now you have to pay. You're going to be chastised, and you have to pay. This silver has to be paid to the dad as recompense. You follow me? Why? Why pay it to the dad? Why not pay it to the woman, the daughter? Pay it to the dad. Okay? And you say, oh, Tony, Brother Tony, you just because you got daughter. No, I'm telling you what the word says.
Right.
And so he brought up an evil name. And looky here, she shall be his wife, and he may not put her away all his days. So even that law, for whatever reason, for the hardness of their heart, that they could put him away for whatever reason, which isn't right, but it was there, even he couldn't exercise that
right. Because
he messed up. When he brought a false accusation against the daughter, a virgin daughter of Israel. Now, we can go ahead and go to the next thing. But if this thing be true, in other words, if it is true that she wasn't a virgin, and his accusation is right that he found her not to be a virgin. But if this is true, this thing be true, and the tokens of virginity be not found for the damsel, then they shall bring out the damsel to the door of her father's house, and the men of the city shall stone her with stones that she die, because she hath wrought folly in Israel to play the whore in her father's house. So shall thou put evil away from among you. So if it's true that she played the part of a harlot, That where did they stone him? Not in the town square. Not out in the bushes somewhere, out in the desert somewhere. But they would bring her to her father's house, in front of her father's house, and she would be stoned right there. Could you imagine her standing knowing what she's done? And there's my dad, and he stood for me, and he stood for what's right, and he taught me what's right, and I slapped him in the face and went and did something. And right here in front of my own dad's house, they're going to stone me to death. Can you see what the arrangement there, how important this is?
Yes.
See? It is important.
Yeah.
Let's go to verse 28, same chapter. This is a different scenario. If a man find a damsel that is a virgin, which is not betrothed, and he lay hold on her and lie with her, and they be found. Okay, so this is a woman. She's not espoused to somebody. She's not married to somebody. They're not going to die because of this. Because she's not married to somebody else and she's not espoused to somebody else. Because previously you see that that's what happens to somebody who does to a woman who is espoused. But here she's totally not any man's, but she's still under her dad's house. Okay? Then the man that lay with her shall give unto who? The damsel's father 50 shekels of silver. That's a little less than 500 bucks. It needs to be 5 million bucks as far as I'm concerned. Not that money could ever straighten that out. But nevertheless, the judgment is that he has to give her, and she shall be his wife, because he hath humbled her. He may not put her away all his days. What do you mean he has humbled her? He took her without daddy's permission. Follow me?
Yeah.
And he has to pay daddy because of it. And so, you see, it is important. You want to have mom and dad's blessings on this. And there's so much more that can be said. So the principle is the same today. I'm not saying you should stone your children and all that. That's not what I'm getting at.
Right.
But the principle is there. So when the time comes for you to start looking for someone, you're interested, you want to be married, you want to always include the Word of God in your search.
Yes.
You want to include mom and dad in your search. You want to include prayer in your search. You want to include the Holy Spirit in your search. And I'll even go ahead and say this, include your ministry. If you need counsel. You got Brother Daniel, you got me. We're here. Listen, we're not going to guide you wrong, not willingly. We might ignorantly if we had something ignorant, but we got a word, we got a message.
Amen.
And we're guiding you by that. As long as we guide you by that, then we can say, listen, if what I'm saying is wrong, then, you know, we'll go to the source that told us, and we'll go to these principles, and we'll go to the scriptures, and we'll say, you know. And so, we're going to tell you the truth. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, think about this. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourself, for they watch for your souls. Did you know that the ministry does that? They watch for your souls as they that must give account. We have to give account to what we're telling you.
That's right.
That they may do it with joy and not with grief. Why would your ministry be grieving over you? It would be because they see you not obeying the truth they've delivered.
That's right.
And when that happens, it's not profitable. It's unprofitable for you if that's happening. But if they can do it with joy, then it's a great thing.
Amen.
Amen. So don't look for social media to be your guide when you're looking for someone. Don't go to websites. Don't go to your coworkers. This is a curse. Socialism, social media, social. Remember last week, so many voices and all telling you don't even know who you are because you've got too many things pulling at you different directions. Get rid of that stuff and bring it down to an ultimate. One voice, your parents speaking from this message, from the Bible, one voice, keep it there and you'll be fine. So don't go to your co-workers and don't even turn to the saints in this assembly if it's not your mom and dad or ministry. Don't even turn to them and ask them for their opinion. Do you think he would be a good match for me? Don't even do it. Don't do it. Man.
Man.
You're the one that has to live with that decision, not them.
Mm-hmm.
Not as much as somebody next to you loves you, they don't have to live with that decision. And if they and know that they're obviously not praying about this situation as much as you should be. So don't listen to somebody else if it's not ministry and it's not your own mom and dad. Don't take culture of the world. Amen?
Amen.
Everything good so far?
Amen.
Okay. Now we get to a big one. We support courtship, not dating.
Right.
Courtship, not dating. I know, Brother Branham's day and so forth, but look at the day we live in. Look at what is so permitted right now. So the culture, the way it is. So let me explain to you why courtship, why we support that. Because you've heard me say this, and I think I gave the example. You take a tuning fork, and it'll lay right there and not say nothing. But if you touch it, you excite something that lays within it, and it starts to resonate what it is. And the flesh, unregenerated, because Brother Ann tells us we are. We in our flesh, we are animal. In our flesh, we are barnyard.
Mm-hmm.
But with the Holy Spirit, we're not barnyard. Because the Holy Spirit will control. Right?
Yes, right.
So in our flesh, that's what we are. So when you take that tuning fork, our flesh, and it lays there, and if it's unregenerated, it's not given to the Holy Ghost. Because if it is the Holy Ghost, it's not going to be in this situation I'm talking about, fixing this chair with you. But you touch it, and it's going to ring out that fall that fell in humanity.
Yeah.
It's going to ring out that lustful nature.
Mm-hmm.
See? And so when you take that nature and you put it in the right kind of environment, you're exciting it. You hit that thing, and now you're making room for it to begin to resonate the fall that lays within our flesh.
Yep.
So how do you resonate that? How do you get that to begin? You take a male and you female, and you put them in an environment where those things can start to grow and start to act, and that resonating begins to take place. And now you got yourself on a slippery slope, and you can't stop.
Right.
You can't. It goes too far. I've said it before, and I know, I was there, I was a young man. You like a girl, you're like, oh, you know, and it'd take you forever to finally get up a nerve just to go down and sit next to her. Or take it to but that wasn't good enough. You didn't want to just sit next to her, you wanted to hold her hand.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just holding your hand, that's not good enough. I mean, knows what I'm talking about. Not good enough just to hold her hand, you won't put your arm around her.
Mm-hmm.
It's not good enough just to put your arm around her, you want to kiss her. You follow me?
Yeah.
And it's not good enough just to kiss her. You want to do something else. And where did this thing, where it leads to, where did it start? It started way back here when you were allowed to be in an environment where those things were unchaperoned and you lost control of yourself because it lays within your nature and you're with some, and then here it goes. So, courtship is an environment where you can get to know the person under an environment that keeps those hormones and those emotions at bay until after your wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Follow me?
Yeah.
It promotes an environment so you can spend time with them, you can get to know them, you can become friends with them, which is what you should do first. Become friends with them and see where it goes. But it's an environment where you can't, where it's not allowed for you to mess up. And so it's a situation where if need be, and I'll talk about this in a minute, if need be, you can back out of this situation and no harm's done because you're not scarred physically or emotionally. You're not scarred because nothing's happened that shouldn't have happened. And you can back out of it, and you can go and maybe find somebody else who is the right one. And there's no harm done because you were just simply a little bit of an environment where you could kind of explore this situation, but not break the rules and the laws of God and find yourself lost in virtue, with your virtues lost.
Right.
So you understand. And I know, you know, it's like, well, but And I always say, if your son's like, oh, I want to go to Jimmy's house, and he's always going to, why can't Jimmy come here? No, we got to go to Jimmy's house. And he never wants Jimmy to come over here. Then you know there's something's going on at Jimmy's house that they don't want you to know about. Mm-hmm. And that's the way it is. It's always, I got to do it. No. You know there's a rabbit in the wood pile, I think, as Brother Rim said. You know there's something going on. We know the nature. I was there. I seen it myself. I look back in it, and I see it. I know what it does. We're not ignorant if you've been down this road. So it keeps the emotions and hormones at bay until your wedding night. It prevents you from getting physical and mental scars, which are unnecessary.
Right.
They are. You shouldn't even, not even allowed to kiss. In the oddball message, Brother Rim said, I went to a place the other night and to get something to eat, and the little boys and girls up there were hugging and kissing like I don't know what. And do you know, my little sister, that that's potentially an adultery? When a man kisses you, he is potentially committing adultery with you. You should never let him kiss you until you're married, for the glands, both male and female, are in the lips. Do you understand? He said. You say, I don't understand that, Brother Tony. We'll get there in just a minute. And when male and female glands come together, let it be where it may be, you have potentially committed adultery. And you shouldn't let the boy kiss you until the veil is raised on your face and you're his wife. Don't do that. It's committing adultery. It's mixing the male and female glands. Now, the scripture says that if a man even looks at a woman and lusts after her, he's committed adultery with her in his heart. So you mean to tell me that he's guilty of adultery if he looks and lusts, but it's okay to kiss? See, by the time you've kissed, you've already went further than looking and lusting.
That's right.
And it is potential. But beyond that, he said the sex glands are in the lip. And you say, well, now, you know, sex gland, that's not really okay. And I've told you this before. And I won't say the name of the family just in case, but I can offline, I can tell you. A family, message believers, dad's a minister in this message. Daughter had leukemia. Needed somebody to be a donor. Her brother was a match. Her brother was a young, handsome, at the time, maybe 14, 15 years old, something like that. I don't remember exactly. Handsome man. Handsome. Any young lady said, oh, he's something else. And so they went to do all this testing on him to make sure everything was going to be okay for him to be a donor for his sister. And they asked him questions. Now, this is what they told us. They asked questions about his conduct. Have you ever did this? Have you ever done that? Have you ever had relations? And he's like, no. And they're like, huh? You're this age and a handsome young man and you've not done anything? So, no. Why? A message.
Amen.
Living according to the message. And they told him, you might as well tell us the truth now, because this test will tell us if you've even kissed somebody. How'd that happen? Because did you know, I have to give a drug test once in a while. I don't have to. I had to one time. Because just random. If you do something like drive a forklift crazy and something, they make you do one automatic. If you're tardy three times in a row or something like that, they make you do it. But mine was just random. But you know how they did the drug test? It wasn't blood they took, it was saliva. And when you drink a glass, you go to a murder scene, you drink out of a glass and it becomes a murder scene, they get your DNA off that glass. You follow me?
Yeah.
DNA. You know what makes up our whole physical nature? DNA.
Yeah.
In that DNA is all the instructions for your entire body. Mm-hmm. Right? And when you kiss someone, your DNA crosses with their DNA.
Right.
Follow me? The structure of life is crossed. And you say, well, that won't produce nobody. No, it might not. But you realize, you understand that that the DNA that my wife has in her should be her, and if there is male DNA present, it should be from me. Because it affects, you understand? And so I'm just kind of giving you just a real quick on that. But you understand, Brother Branham was not a super educated man, but God talked to him every day, and he knew what he was talking about when he said these things. The world can discredit and say, this man, that's ignorant, there ain't no such thing, that ain't going to cause nothing. But you get in God's economy, and you'll find out he knew what he was talking about. Amen. And so courtship keeps things in a way where you don't cross DNA. You don't do something that's wrong, and you don't mess up. And by the way, I said courtship makes it where you don't have scars and life. Because when a young lady especially, but even men, when you get involved with someone to a degree that you should not be involved with them until you're married, and then it don't work out, you go away with an imprint of that in your experience. And you'll never shake that. Brother Adam said, when you hold a woman to you, a young man, when you hold a woman, that there's an imprint, a bosom, that imprints into your bosom, and no other woman fits that. It's a different imprint. I know what I'm talking about. It's different. But there's one imprint that should be there. One imprint that should be there. When you have experiences and it goes too far into a situation that courtship wouldn't allow, into something wrong, now you have experiences you should not have except with one person in your life, unless something happens and you become a widow or a widower and you can remarry. But you follow the understanding. Now you've got that, and that experience, and believe it or not, Satan, he messes with your mind, and that is a realm that he can have access to, right? And so now you go and you find what is the right one. And now in your experiences with that right one, guess what you're thinking about once in a while? What comes back and what haunts you and what you're comparing to and everything else that Satan wants to throw into your mind is that relationship you had that you shouldn't have had. You've got scars from that previous, if you were hurt. And now you say a young lady, she's been hurt. Some man did slick her, talked her into it. Now she's all messed up. And now she finds the guy she does love, and he loves her. And now she's got to say, when he asks her to marry, she's got to say, honey, I got something I got to tell you. Some slicker got me. A scar. Another thing we call baggage. Because everybody you're going to marry, anybody you would marry, everybody has baggage. And so, my wife will tell you I've got baggage. And a lot of it is my family. I said, you marry your family, you marry the family, right? So a lot of it is the family members of the one you married. But you got baggage. And some of that baggage might be experiences you had that you shouldn't have had. And rest assured that Satan will make sure that it becomes an issue in your current marriage that you feel like is of God. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So the whole thing is that the courtship gets you in a situation that when you finally say I do, you don't have any of those scars and any of that baggage to come in and haunt you and cause any troubles. And I could go a whole lot deeper in a lot of different things about the passing of seed and what happens and all that. This should never have been anywhere elsewhere. It should only be the one that you finally, the one God gives you. Yeah. Okay? And so, but here's why we call it baggage. Because when I walk in, I say, my wife, I'll use her example coming in. She walks into my house. I say, will you marry me? We get married. She walks into my house. She's carrying bags with her and sets them down in the living room floor. Mm-hmm. Past experiences, past things that, whether good, bad, or indifferent, it's all there because it's a part of her makeup, and it sets them right there. And we start keeping house and living and going about our marriage. And guess what? That baggage is laying there on the floor, and you got to walk around it all the time. It's always in the way. Uh-huh. And my point is the baggage always has to be dealt with. Yeah. It will have issues. It will come out. And if you're a good Christian man and woman who God has brought you together, that baggage can be dealt with pretty easily a lot of times. Yeah. Sometimes, some cases worse than others. But if you're not, sometimes that baggage becomes the thing that you actually call it quits for. See, people in the world. Mm-hmm. And so you got to realize that if you've got your eye on somebody, they have baggage. And you don't want that to be stuff from a past experience and so forth. So it helps you to understand the environment that you should be looking for someone in, and that you aren't guilty of creating baggage in someone else's life or creating scars in somebody else's life because you didn't obey the word of God. You got out of hand. You pushed back against courtship and snuck out. See what I'm saying? It's important. These things matter. And those of you who are adults, you probably remember that you've heard me say this many years ago, some of that stuff.
Right.
See? Because this is truth.
Man.
So, courtship allows you to have an environment where you can watch the person you're interested in. See how they respond to life. See how the young man responds when his mom says, son, get up and take the trash out. Watch him, sister. Mm-hmm. See how he responds. When daddy says, hey, son, I need you to come here and help. All right, can I wait till later? Mm-hmm. Watch him, sister.
Right.
A lot of glancing going around. That's okay. We're talking about human nature. Mm-hmm. Human nature that needs to come underneath the hospice of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And so, but it creates an environment where you can get to know them and you can see these. They're like, whoa, wait a minute. Her mama asked her to come help dishes and she threw a fit. I don't think you want to marry somebody like that. Because if they won't obey mom and dad, they won't obey you.
That's right.
If they won't hold the scriptures in high regard, they won't do it when you hook up with them.
Right.
When you marry them. You following? So it is important. Is this okay?
Yeah.
Does it sound like marriage enrichment stuff? Good information?
Yeah.
So, you know, they have a great big dozer that's like a D-11, and they take this thing, a stinger, and they shove it down in the ground, and I think about a 7-foot-deep hole. I don't know how wide it is. And that thing just plows. He just drives and actually rips a hole in the ground 7 foot deep or whatever it is for laying cables.
Yeah.
And sometimes when you're preaching, that's what you feel like you're doing. You got that stinger stuck down, and you're pulling, digging a niche, you know. But that's good. Because, you know, as Brother Rim said, you have got to clench a nail to make it hold. You can't just, how many's ever done that and it fall off?
Yeah.
You know? But you got to be careful clenching it, too, because sometimes when you hit it hard enough, you hit your thumbnail. See the... So, but you understand, it's tricky ground, but it's the truth. You gotta do it and say it what's right because it'll help you. It'll do you some good. Man, I gotta keep moving here. I'm trying to get through here. So, courtship allows you to break it off, and without having any wrongdoing, without any scars, you can leave that. No deep attachment there, you know, and you can go, and so. Or you might find out that in courtship, this truly is the one. This truly is the one. I've watched the way they handle things, and God has spoke to my heart, and they feel the same. And so then, but no harm's done. See? So, now, we believe, or I believe, in long courtship. Long courtship and short engagement. That makes sense? Long courtship. Plenty of time. Don't rush. Let this work out in God's way until you finally realize, okay, this is or is not the one. And so, in courtship, it's not a public issue. And to the church people, to everybody else, don't get involved in it. If you think that a young man likes a girl over here, don't say nothing about it. You can talk to her parents about it. But don't say anything to the young people. Let them alone. They don't need you to be matchmakers. You're not the one praying over this. You're not the parent involved. You're not the ministry involved. Stay out of it until they make the announcement. So it's not a public issue during courtship. The courtship takes place under the watchful eye of the parents, right? Under a watchful eye of courtship, of chaperones and so forth. And then once that courtship is played out and everything, and they finally realize, okay, this is the one, and he goes to dad and he says, can I take your daughter? And the dad says, sure, I've watched you. We have plenty. I realize, you know, and God's speaking to my heart. He spoke to your heart, spoke to my daughter's heart. Yes, you can have her. Then you make the announcement, and then church, then you can talk to them. Then you can talk to them. But don't put peer pressure on them.
Amen.
Don't, if they come to you and say, what do you think I, don't go that way.
Amen.
They don't need peer pressure.
No.
They need the Holy Spirit to speak to them, to each other, to the parents, to the ministry, till it's all on the up and up. That's what you need.
That's right.
See? And I'll tell you this. I've had the opportunity to perform several marriages, and I've said no, except for one. And all the ones I said no to, they fell apart. They went somewhere else, got married somewhere, and it fell apart. Amen. I'm not bragging to myself. I'm saying there's godly principles here. When you see, no, this ain't right. There's something wrong here. See, that's why it's important. You need somebody, not just you with your emotions, saying, oh, I want this one, because you could be deceived thinking the Holy Spirit spoke to you when he hasn't. Not just them, but parents in ministry. You need that blessing in your life. It'll help you as you go further. So, but in engagement now the announcement's been made, and you can actually talk to them. Tell her, congratulations. You know why? Because it's a done deal already. They're just waiting on the ceremony. Because you're married. And listen, young man or young women, you're married when you give your vow to that person. And I don't mean at the wedding ceremony. But when they say to you, will you marry me? And you say, yes, done. God holds you responsible from that point on. So don't even entertain saying that until you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God has spoke to you and spoke to the one you're interested in and spoke to the parents on both sides, and everybody is moving in that direction, which takes time. See? And then once all that's there, and don't even ask her until you talk to her daddy, because what if he says no?
Right.
See what I'm saying? Do it the right way. So go to the dad and son, yes, son. It's like Brother Branson, his father-in-law, Hope Dad, said, you can have her. He knew what he was there for. You can have her. But you know what I'm saying? So if there's ever somebody to be serious with in this young man, it's with her dad, with her mom and dad. Because that's 50% of the blessing there. And so when you say I do, or I will, even before the ceremony, you're married. You're espoused. It's a scriptural term. Brother Bram tells us in Questions and Answers, he says, somebody asked the question, said, we were married 20 years ago by the justice of the peace. Was it wrong? It was wrong.
Yeah.
It's wrong to be married by the justice of the peace.
Right.
Because it's an institution of God. It should be in before God. And so, Brother Bram said, yes, it was wrong for you to do that. Marriage belongs in the house of God. Belongs in the house of God. But being that you are married, he said, here's when you're really married. You're married when you vow one to the other, when you promise one another that you'll take one another. The justice of peace can give you a license. That's a legal term to live together as husband and wife without being common law husband and wife. But when you promise this girl, or you promise that man that you'll live true to him, and you take him to be your husband, you're married then. And so you go back in the scriptures, you remember that Joseph was espoused to Mary. And yet he wasn't to be with her for a year or whatever it was. And that was there because of making sure that you understand that she hadn't been touched or whatever. But so she's already been espoused to him by the parents coming together and saying, okay, you know, and now it's done. But now they're not living together. But it's his wife. And so when the angel Lord came to him and spoke to him and said, Joseph, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife. Now the taking unto thee means to marry her. But thy wife, because she's already his wife. See what I'm saying? And so it's biblical there that when your vow, when the agreement is made, even if the ceremony's not happened, when the agreement, then it's done. But it's not a license for you to live like you're married until you have the ceremony, until you have the license. See? But the last account, why is it so important that it's your word? Because we should live by our word. And I realize sometimes things happen and we have to go back on a word because it's out of our control. But the last time I looked, it was the spoken word that created everything. And where are we headed? To a realm of the spoken word. We better start learning to speak and speak what is right and go through with it and not speak when it ain't right. Right? And so don't ask her, don't say it, don't until it's right. And then the Holy Spirit can anoint it when it is.
Right.
So, even at your wedding, even in the wedding ceremony, keep it holy.
Yeah.
Have a wedding ceremony that God can bless.
Yes.
Don't go all the way living under mom and dad and under the message and all that, and you go through all this thing and you're like, okay, you get the permission, now you come. And then at your wedding, just shoom and leave the message all the way with what you have in your wedding with ungodly dressed women or music from the world and stuff. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
How, at what point in your life do you want to ditch God and start going some other way?
Right.
You want it from cradle to grave.
Yeah.
In every aspect. Amen. And so you want to give God something he can bless on it. And you can only be blessed when you do it his way. So, remember Brother Ram talking about the slave who was dad in Africa was a king of a tribe. So he conducted himself like a king. And Brother Ram said, you remember that wife of yours, that one, and if you're not married, but you're that's a king's daughter. You're a king's son. And how are you going to treat a king's daughter? How are you going to treat a king's son?
Amen.
Your royalty. What makes family, royal family, different than everybody else? It's a different pedigree, a different class, different set of discipline to that which is right. So you're a royal family. Amen. King's sons and daughters. And so I'll end by saying this. This is talking all about today, about the approach to marriage. And Lord willing, we'll get into issues in marriage and things like that. But it's your choice. You can take everything you hear and you can just throw it to the side and go your own way, and you will reap the rewards of doing that. But I can assure you that if you stay with God on these matters, all matters, you'll reap those rewards too.
Amen.
And be blessed.
Yes.
And so, as you do this, make sure you remove the temptations. Make sure if you just got to look at your cell phone during church, then put it back there on the table back where you can't see it.
Mm-hmm.
Remove the temptation. That's something you can do.
Right.
Right? That is something you can do. So remove the temptation. Don't put yourself in a situation. And the minute that you go against the rules that you know that God has given you on these matters, on any matter, the moment you step across that, Satan has a right to anoint you to take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. And you're not the one that's in control of how much that is. Only by the grace of God has he, a lot of us, that he intervened when we were sinners. and said, no, can't do that because I got something for you to do down the road. Is that something we find in the message? Sure is. Don't ever drink or smoke or defile your body in any way, because there will be work for you when you get older. That's what the angel said to Brother Branham, because he had a ministry that required that. And I can tell you that God kept me from doing things that I shouldn't have done that would have ruined my ability to stand here and minister to you. And I thank him for it. When I didn't even have him on my mind, but I can look back now and say, thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you. And I look back on that, say, as I said the other day, my wife and I, coming up on 35 years. 35 years for you. Not just us, but for you. And I look back on those experiences where God kept me and guided me in ways, and I didn't even know he was. He did that not just for me, but he did it for you. Amen. So may the Lord richly bless you. We'll let the musicians come. You know, I'm not a professional marriage counselor, but I am a person, a minister, to minister the gospel to you out of the scriptures and out of the message, and that's my credentials. Amen.
Amen.
And I see that the mistakes I've made in my life that cost me was because I didn't do what I was supposed to.
Yeah.
Amen. Let's just pray. Lord, as we come to the end of this service, we want to thank you for this moment together with your people. And I know that I've laid a lot of things out here this morning, Lord, to the people, especially to our young people. And Lord, this is for them, and we're asking God that you just guide them and take these truths and solidify them in their hearts. Lord, that when it comes the hour of temptation, they will remember these things. Lord, that you will bring to remembrance all the things that you've spoken to them out of your word, out of the message, out of this message this morning, God, that it will not leave them, that it will be ingrained in their mind all the days of their life. Help them, Lord, as they make right decisions, which you heavily confirm to them that these decisions pay off. And Lord, we just ask God that if they do make mistakes, that you'll help them return quickly to you. We ask God that you'd help them in these ways, and we ask it in Jesus' name.
Thank you.
chairs in, the rest of our chairs in. Amen. And as you can see, we got started on one of our sound cables. So we're going to keep moving and doing the things we want to do. Keep planting potatoes. Amen. I'd like to talk to you about something else here just for a minute, but Brother Daniel, go ahead and end our live stream now. And don't get afraid. It's all right. Just something for you.